The group of pugs were getting ready to disband, demoralized after wiping to difficult crash paths. They gave up hope that a competent tank would ever arrive. As they were about to disband, a shimmer of hope materialized before them. A mighty Torn warrior, decked out in the latest tier, summoned from the queue as if to answer their prayers. He surveyed the party and immediately took leadership unlike they had never seen before. Alright, listen up. CC your targets, do not let them break. Rogue, Zap X. Hunter, Trap Square. Mage, Cheap Moon. Pulling. The Dark Horse of World of Warcraft Podcasting. This is Cheap Moon.
Ah, yeah, good evening, Azeroth. It's 6 p.m. Finally! It's time for Sheep Moon. Hey, DTD here with you on episode 27. Today is February 26, 2013. And we've got a fantastic show planned today. Believe it or not. What, who am I kidding? It's always a good show. That's why you listen to me. If you weren't here for the pre-show was dedicated to a good friend of mine who was going through a really tough breakup. And I am a compassionate god, and he asked me to play something for him. So I dedicated the entire show, pre-show, to him and to a couple other people out there that I know of that are also going through a tough breakup. So I hope it helped, buddy. If you guys missed it, you can check out the live stream page. I think it'll be up there for a while if you want to listen to the pre-show. But enough about that. We got a show to do. Now, I've got a couple of announcements, just like normal. Right now, sheepmoon.com is down. Why is it down? Because we're in the process of transferring and reformatting everything. Good news, though. The entire archive of Sheep Moon, starting way back at episode 1, will be available on the website. So if you want to hear the very first terrible, absolute crap shows, you'll now be able to do that. And it's kind of interesting. I was actually listening to the first episode just the other day, and it's amazing how much the show has changed since then. Because for those hipsters who have been listening the entire time, this show was actually just a recap of the blog. Because back then I was doing blog posts every day. And it was just comments and talking about that. So, considering I haven't done a blog post since like November. Right? Actually, I think I put one up beginning of January talking about Quest Text. But since I haven't done a real blog post since like November, you can kind of say that the show has changed just a bit. So, if you want to go check out the evolution of Sheep Moon, you'll be able to find it on sheepmoon.com here, hopefully, this week sometime. Now, that also means that the show will now be posted on Sheep Moon instead of through Podomatic, which was the podcasting site I was using before. I may post this episode up on Podomatic and then like a little bumper saying, hey, this RSS feed's gonna die, because it will. So you'll have to resub through iTunes with a different RSS feed, or I actually might be able to just to change the RSS feed. I don't know, I'll let you know. You guys may not miss anything, but just in case, here's a notice that the RSS feed may change and you may have to resubscribe through iTunes. Just a warning. Now, somebody DM'd me on Twitter a couple days ago asking how they could support the show. And honestly, The best way to support the show is to subscribe on iTunes, give ratings, give reviews, like us on Stitcher, add the RSS feed for the website to your RSS feed reader, stuff like that. Yeah, donations are nice, but they're not necessary. Basically, those will just go to help costs and stuff, if you guys decide to do that. But if not, the absolute best way to support the show is to subscribe to the YouTube channel, and tell your friends about it. Let's get more listeners. Now, we do have a record number of listeners once again this week. The live listener count is now up to 24. So, to all those that are new to the live show, welcome. You're in for a treat. If you're listening to the podcast feed, hey, that's fine too. I don't mind. I'm not picky. So thank you, everybody, for getting the word out to the truth. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, next announcement. If you guys listen to WoW Uncensored, and you should be Saturday nights, we announced that my guild, Evangelion, is changing servers. We are moving to Emerald Dream Horde side. That move will start March 1st. That's when the guild will be transferred over. And so if you guys are wanting to join Evangelion just for some good times, wait till March 1st. Join us on our new guild on Emerald Dream, which will still be called Evangelion, I'm pretty sure. But Evangelion is a PvP server. It's a high-pop server, so it's a lot different than what we were used to back on Vec. And it's going to be a lot of fun because we have friends on Alliance side in Violent Apathy, the guild run by Stopcast and Middle Finger Bill. And we are going to try, once we get our ranks built back up, because we're only bringing 10 people over, really. Once we get our ranks built back up in Evangelion, we're going to set up some world PvP battles with Violent Apathy. So, I mean, like, actual scripted, well, not scripted, but, you know, event-based world PvP. You know, maybe we'll go fight over Hala as level 90s, or we'll go do something like that. Maybe a world domination thing, or just like guild versus guild free-for-all. It's going to be a blast. So, if you guys want in on that action, come join us in Evangelion on Emerald Dream starting March 1st. If you want to follow me on Twitter at Kalemsai or at Sheep_Moon, I will let you know exactly when that transfer is going to take place so you can come join us if you want. And if you don't want to transfer a 90, that's fine. Roll up a new guy. There is something special to be said about leveling up on a PvP server, that's for sure. So definitely come check that out. And finally, for the announcements, I was a guest host on a podcast this past weekend. It's actually not a WoW podcast. The podcast is called Lost in the Corn. You can find it on iTunes. And it's kind of like a political ranty show, but mostly we just talk about random crap. I think we ended up talking about TV and video games and stuff like that. So if you want to see a different side of D, go check out Lost in the Corn. I believe it's the latest episode up on iTunes right now. If it's not, then I will talk to the guy and find out where you guys can find it, and I'll post it up on Twitter for y'all. So that's it for the announcements today. We got a show to do. Let's do this.
Have you checked your email this morning, Mulder?
No, why?
Because I received something unsettling, and I wondered if you'd gotten it, too.
The email-less streak has been broken. We actually have an email today that we're going to go over. This one is from Elamari. I will now call him Elamari the First, because Elamari was my very first fan. He's been there before there was even a podcast. He was following the blog back when I was doing the blog. So, Elamari sent me an email, and Elamari, it's been good to hear from you, man. My favorite Aussie. I haven't heard from you forever. So, I apologize for not having a level 90 tank on Proudmoore. I know you asked me if I'd come tank something for you. But, hey, I'm leveling that level 90 Alliance character on Emerald Dream. With 5.2 coming out, we can cross-realm 5.0 raids. Hit me up, buddy, if I decide to go prot with that guy. I don't know. Anyway, the email. Dear Desperate D. I love that intro. I know you sort of touched on this in your last show, but I want to hear your thoughts on what Blizz can do to teach people how to play specialist roles such as tanking and healing. The game is very DPS focused, and I think that is a necessary evil, because all the classes and specs can or are able to DPS, but only same can tank and heal. By having questing DPS focused, Blizz isn't excluding anyone from the content. Do you think that if Blizz wanted to invest some time into this issue, they could do some sort of training package with quests or scenarios or proving grounds to help teach or train healing in these specialist roles? Want to hear your thoughts. Well, Elamari, I think that, I mean, using scenarios and proving grounds and stuff would be great to teach players at max level how to tank or heal, but honestly, you need to teach somebody how to do that from the beginning. Like, if they ding level 10 and then decide to go protection spec or resto spec or whatever, they need something right there to tell you how that is supposed to work. So what they could do is they could use a scenario of proving ground technology at level 10 and just put you in some sort of scenario where you have to tank or heal. I mean, because DPS is easy. You just go and you kill the thing. It's not that hard. But tanking is a lot different. You got to hold aggro and try to stay alive. Healing's a lot different because you're not killing, you're helping. So I believe that if you put in some sort of even a special quest, you know how you get you still get the class quests at level 2 or 3? You could do something like that at level 10. Just say, "Hey, I'm a paladin and I picked holy spec." Well, when I pick that spec, a little pop-up quest comes up, say, "Hey, you need to go heal this guy through this cave and don't let him die." Or, "Hey, I picked protection spec. Hey, there's 3 other peasants that you have to take through this cave, and you have to make sure that none of them die by getting aggro while they help you kill stuff." Something like that. Just, it doesn't have to be, you know, really intricate. You just need to teach the basics of tanking and healing. Now, you could do that, like, you know, every other, you know, like every 10 or 20 levels or something like that, just to kind of re-up with all the new abilities that you get. But just having that base at level 10, I think, would help out a ton. And you wouldn't have so many problems with tanks in lower level instances. Because apparently, tanks are really bad at lower level. Which I wouldn't know, because I'm an excellent tank, so whatevs. Okay, enough of tooting my horn. Thank you very much, Elamari, for the email. I love getting emails. I love hearing back from you guys. So if you want to send a question or comment to the show, you can email sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Once again, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Yeah, I know it's not a blog anymore, but, you know, whatever. I might, with the new website, I might get a professional-sounding email, like buttocks@sheepmoon.com or something like that. No, that's not the email. No, that's not it, but something like that, you know what I mean? Anyway, that's it for emails this week. We got some news to talk about. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
So there is some news to talk about. Not actually a lot about what I talk about, because, yeah, there's a ton of PTR stuff, but I don't talk about PTR. Why? Because I don't do PTR. I follow the PTR just so I can kind of know what's going on. I definitely follow my class, as everybody really should be. But as far as playing on the PTR, I don't do it. You know, I have a hard enough time doing content once. I don't want to have to do it once and then do it again. I got access to the MOP beta. I've had access to the beta for Kata and Wrath too. And while I played the beta in Kata and Wrath, I didn't play it in MOP because I didn't want to go through the content again. So, but we do have some news to go over. I want to talk about this tweet, actually, regarding soloing Sunwell. It says, regarding Calic Ghost, at this point, we don't know if the developers have any plans to change him or any other bosses, but we'll ask them and share with you any news that's the case. And just an update on that. A last-minute fix was made to patch 5.2 that should allow players to solo the Caligos encounter in the Sunwell. So, if you want to go get some sweet transmog gear out of Sunwell, you can now solo Caligos, in case you guys missed that from 5.2. So, what, a couple weeks? You'll be able to solo Caligos? Yes, that's what I want. I love soloing stuff. But big news, I don't know, I think this was out in time for last week's show, but I kind of missed it, and I don't know how I could have missed it. Probably because, you know, I didn't have enough coffee or something. But the PvP Season 12 is ending March 5th. So Arena and Rated Battleground Season 12 is scheduled to end on Tuesday, March 5th. At that point, we will determine who is eligible for end-of-season rewards, a process that should take approximately 1 week. It's very important for players who feel that they may be eligible for arena titles and or the Malevolent Gladiator's Cloud Serpent to refrain from transferring their characters to another realm or faction until after Season 12 ends. The awarding of Season 12 titles amounts will occur approximately 2 weeks after the season ends. At the end of the season, conquest points will be converted to honor, and any honor above 4,000 will be converted to gold at a rate of 35 silver per point. The honor cap will remain at 4K. All Season 12 items will cost honor points equivalent to their previous conquest point cost when the season ends. So basically the way they've done every single season, like, forever. With the exception of any items with rating requirements attached, these items will no longer be available for purchase. So if you want some of that 2,200 gear, you can go get it now, because it's not going to be available in a week. So hurry up with that. The next Arena and Rated Battleground season will begin approximately 1 week after the current season ends. During the break between seasons, all Rated Battleground and Arena matches will be unavailable. Team and personal ratings will be reset when Season 13 begins. That's good news for me, because I'm stuck at like 1450 or something like that. I would like to get higher. Granted, I run like a really terrible comp for twos, but still, it'd be fun. So what does that say for all you PvE players? Well, it means that we're probably going to get the patch March 12th. That's my guess. We'll get 5.2 on March 12th. Yeah, it's a lot later than they were saying, but if you haven't cleared all the current content, now you got a legitimate shot to do that. Instead of having this raid lockout, you've got a couple raid lockouts to work on whatever you're working on. Evangelion right now is working on Grenepa's Shekzir in Heart of Fear, the last boss of Heart of Fear. Probably going to get her down this week, and then that means we've basically got two raid lockouts to work on Terrace. So good news for us. We still got a shot at that Feat of Strength. Not that that's really important, but it's something nice to shoot for. Plus, we just want to have the damn content cleared already. We've had so many setbacks. We're just ready to go. We're antsy. There's been a lot of class tweaking. I'm not going to go over any of that patch note stuff until we get the official final patch notes, because what's the use of talking about something if it's just going to change tomorrow? So that's why I don't really do that. In case you've been living in a cave, Diablo 3 has been announced for PlayStation 3 and 4. Now, I'm not a big console guy, so this really doesn't affect me a whole lot. I probably won't even buy a PS4. I don't even have a PS3. The only reason I buy a PS3 is to play fighting games, because everybody knows, or should know by now, that I'm a huge fighting game fan. I love Street Fighter, I love Tekken, King of Fighters, Guilty Gear, love that stuff. So I doubt I would ever play Diablo 3 on a console. And looking at the interface, it just looks weird. It doesn't look very good to me. But then again, I'm a keyboard and mouse aficionado, so I won't even play FPSs on console anymore. I just don't like them. Blech. Anyway, if you are excited to play Diablo 3 on console, well, there you go. It's coming. Just be patient. They are changing how rare spawns work. Basically, what's going to happen is when a rare spawn is out, you don't have to be in the party with the person that tagged it in order to get the loot from it. However, everybody that attacks that mob, the health is going to increase. Now, they have an example here up on MMO Champion. Haywire Sunreaver, with one player, has 10 million health.
Two players
has 15 million health. Three players has 210 million health. Or 21 million health. Sorry. And five players has 31 million health. So the health is going to scale depending on how many people are attacking it. Now, this is interesting. I haven't read through this post all the way because, you know, I'm lazy. Well, I wonder if you don't attack the mob, if you're just healing the person that is attacking it, does that increase the health of the mob too? I mean, it probably does. I'd imagine it does anyway. I don't know. That is interesting. But it's kind of nice because there's a lot of rare mobs out there that people camp a lot. Like, there's that one guy in Dreadwastes that drops that 300% XP potion that is camped constantly. Even on Vecnalash, that dude's camped. So, but it'll be nice to see that the new 5.2 rare mobs will be kind of like faction tagged again. So that's pretty cool. Now, it doesn't apply to 5.0 rare mobs, which is unfortunate, but I imagine there's probably some sort of reason that they won't backtrack and do that. Maybe they'll do that in the future. Who knows? But 5.2 rare mobs will be open players. Go team. Our final piece of news. Do you guys want a new computer? Yeah. I do too. Everybody wants a new computer. Well, you've got a chance to win one through Wowhead. Now, this is a Heroes of New Earth promotion. But who cares? You can still win it for WoW anyway. Basically, Heroes of New Earth just released version 3.0 of their game. And it's a patch that's aimed at making their game more beginner-friendly and newly introduced bot games with tons of visual enhancements. So if you're like me and not really into League of Legends or MOBAs of any sort, Heroes of New Earth seems like it'd be a really good MOBA to start learning how to play. And I may pick it up someday. But if you want some help playing this game, S2 Games and Origin PC approached Wowhead to offer a state-of-the-art gaming PC to one lucky Wowhead community member. So, pretty much all you have to do to win is go to their contest page and put in your first and last name, and you win. Now, you have to be registered with Wowhead to do that, but if you're not registered with Wowhead, then what's wrong? Go register with Wowhead. It's a great site. One of the best fan sites out there right now. Now, here's some of the specs for this new computer they're giving away. The motherboard is an Asus P8Z771 Deluxe. It's got liquid cooling. It's an Intel i5 3570K with professional Origin PC overclocking. It's got 8 gigs, 1600 megahertz of Vengeance memory. And EVGA NVIDIA GeForce GTX 670 graphics card and 120 gigabyte hard drive SSD. That's an SSD drive. 750 watt power supply, optical drive. And it still comes with Windows 7. Yes, Windows 8 is terrible. And you get a 1-year part replacement warranty. So it's a pretty sweet rig. All you have to do, go to their contest page. It's the top story up on Wowhead right now. Wowhead.com/news. And enter to win that PC. If you don't want it and you do win, just give it to me. I could really use a new computer. Or Valentine. He needs one way worse than I do. But it looks like there may be multiple winners of this contest. So, get over there, get a chance to win a new PC. And that's it for our news. Like I said, when you don't talk a lot about the PTR stuff, then there's not a whole lot of news to talk about. But we make news because I'm cool like that. So, I think it's time for a break. We'll come back with Guardian of the Forms. Now, WoW Prophets in the chat room has been begging me this entire time, to play some Limp Bizkit. Or Pantera. Either one. So, we're going to put on some Limp Bizkit right now, and then enjoy some musical roulette. because we love the roulette. That's really, come on, that's really the only reason you guys listen to the show, isn't it? You listen to me, you just want the music. So we'll come right back. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Ro from the Realm Maintenance Podcast, and you are listening to the most cynical critic of the horrendous LFR loot system. This is Sheep Moon.
You ruined the game!
I'm kidding, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Should be banned!
Nerf Nation!
Add player housing!
Where's the dance studio?
I want a refund.
Silence, heathens! If you want to speak to Blizzard, you have to go through me, the guardian of the forums!
That's right. It's time for Guardian of the Forums, the part of the show where we filter through forum posts on the WoW website and various other websites, and we say to things to these people that Blizzard just can't because of PR reasons. But never fear, Blizzard. I'll do your dirty work for you. Now, our first post for the Guardian today, going up in the chat room right now, is solutions for dead servers and ganking. This is from Akioto, a level 90 Pandaren monk alliance side on Emerald Dream. I may have to gank this guy when I see him. So, this post goes like this. I was thinking, what if Blizzard converted all dead servers into PvP servers, where a player can only attack another player if they're in the same level range as them? This would cause dead servers to swell with people who don't like being ganked but still want the PvP experience. I personally would stick to RP PvP servers since I like how personal it gets sometimes, but it is just a thought. Akioto, as Guardian of the Forums, I will say to you, no, that's bad. What's the point of having a level 90 character on a PvP server if you can't gank somebody? That's, we said this over and over and over again on the show. Ganking is a part of life on a PvP server. The best part about ganking is, yeah, it sucks to be ganked, but it's fun to gank people. If I see a low-level alliance or horde that's trying to mine a node that I'm going after, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to gank him. That's mine. I'm going for it. Limiting PvP on a PvP server, it defeats the entire purpose of a PvP server. You roll on a PvP server to kill people. If I see a level 80 character running around in Wrath or Pandaria or Kata or anywhere, and I don't think he needs to be there, I'm gonna gank him. Because more than likely he's there for a reason he shouldn't be. For example, my little alliance warrior on Emerald Dream is level 78 now, I think. 77 or 78. And I've tried to level up my engineering. Well, I need obsidian ore. So what do? I go to Mount Hyjal and I fly around and mine obsidian ore. Should I be there yet? No. I still got another 2 or 3 levels before I can even start doing that content. But I'm trying to get a head start on my engineering. You know what every single horde I run into does? They attack me. They try to gank me. That's the point. And my penalty for doing that content early is getting ganked and then getting rezzed in Ashen Vale and have to take res sickness because you can't fly back to Mount Hyjal in spirit form. And go do it all again. It sucks, but it's the price I pay as being a low level in a high level zone. What you're suggesting, Akioto, goes against the entire principle of a PvP server, and I don't like it, and it's a bad idea, and you should feel bad, and I'm going to hunt you down on Emerald Dream. Guaranteed. Next post. I'm in the chat room right now. I really don't want a single player game. This is from Hookah, a level 90 troll hunter on the Paranold server. He says, the lead dev came out and said that people who play an MMO should not want to play alone. I agree 100% with this statement. The caveat here is that some of us are playing a single player game due to very low pop realms and unbalanced factions. They have given us the option to leave server via reroll or paid transfer. How does this fix the problem? Won't the big, terribly full servers fall to the same system of account losses after time? Do we get a free transfer if we pay for a transfer to a full server and it dies? They say that merges are a band-aid fix. By that same logic, so are server transfers and rerolls. Just some thoughts I had. I don't have some magic solution for it, but hopefully a discussion can be started where some solutions can be thought up and brought to the Blues. And yes, they actually do listen to us. Hookah, as guardian of the forums, I say to you, stop whining. Blizzard has already done a huge step into fixing low pop servers, which is cross-realm zones. It's a good idea, regardless of how many people whine about it. It's a very good idea. While I agree to some extent that they need to merge servers, I don't think it's quite time yet. But the difference between a paid transfer and a Blizzard-initiated free transfer is that with a paid transfer, you can choose where to go. You can choose to pick a high-pop server. You can choose to pick a full server. You can choose to pick another low-pop server if you want. That's your choice. Do I think that the price for transfer is high? Yeah. Do I think we should get like one free transfer every 3 months? Yeah, that'd be great. But you're whining about a problem that is not a new argument, not a new problem. But you can't post something and not offer a way to fix it and expect Blizzard to listen to you. And I'm certainly not going to listen to you. And the whole comment, won't big, terribly full servers follow the same system of account losses after time? No, they won't. It's a full server. It's going to take a very long time for a full server to go to the point where they're going to offer free transfers. And most of the time, the servers that are full for a reason. Whether they have a top-end guild or a podcasting guild or a community, you know, big community guild or something like that. There's a reason that those servers are full. And those servers, like Emerald Dream and Blackrock and Illidan and Mugthal, they're not going away anytime soon. So it would be advantageous for you to transfer one of those servers, which is what my guild is doing. My entire guild's moving, as I mentioned earlier in the show. So Hookah, just either fix it on your end or stop whining about it, because posts like that really aren't going to do you any good. Next topic. Coming in the chat room right now. It's kind of a long post. This one is entitled Daily Grinds from Joseph, a level 90 Torn Warrior on the Thrall server. Post goes like this. Since I started playing this game, there have been a few grinds that you had to do to progress content. They didn't really exist back in Classic, and only for Fancy Mounts in BC. But starting with Wrath of the Lich King, they have become more prevalent and decidedly more necessary to advance in PvE standing. I quit my sub to play other games when the Firelands content was released because I'd absolutely abhor doing daily grinds. It makes it feel like a job that I have to pay to go to in my own house. I've been 90 since a few days after launch, and I don't have any Valor gear because I refuse to do daily grinds to get my reputation up with a half dozen factions that I don't give a crap about. Give me a tabard and I'll tear dungeons up all day to get that rep done. Make me do dailies? Watch me quit again. Daily grinds are great for people who want to do them, but by putting reputation requirements on all VP gear, you have essentially mandated them for us. Do the grinds or go home, Blizzard. I'm not interested in it. Most of my friends aren't either, which is another part of this rant. You killed my guild. Yep, you did it. We managed to stick together for 5 years or so across 3 servers, and you killed my guild with your daily BS because nobody in my guild wants to do them either. I lost my top raiders and raid leaders to League of Legends of all games because they won't do the grind any more than I will. Quite frankly, the only reason I'm still playing at this point is because my wife is having fun with it. She is the only one over 50 people on my real ID list that still logs in, and all the guys I've asked to come that I've asked have confirmed that the reason they aren't logging in is because they don't want to do daily grinds. This should be more of an issue, and to be honest, I cannot believe that there hasn't been more of an outcry about it on the forums. The last daily grind result that came up on a search was someone complaining about kegs in Twilight Highlands, which I don't even know about because I didn't do the dailies there either. However, the Tabard system gave me a very viable alternative. The TLDR version? Give us Tabard options to get reputation up, put rep gear on the rep vendors, and put VP gear on VP vendors. Seriously, isn't VP hard enough to get on its own without having to toss off a panda? What? Okay. Joseph, as the guardian of the forums, I say to you, you don't have to do freaking dailies. You don't have to. Half the time, when you're questing in the zones, you get up to a decent reputation level where you can purchase all the valor gear you want. The only reason to get exalted with anybody is to get special stuff like mounts and tabards. And the tabard rep thing is such a bad idea. I hated it in Kata. I hated it in Wrath. Because, as I mentioned before on this show, why are you doing it? Why do those factions care that you're running Violet Hold? They don't! Unless it's the Kirin Tor. The Kirin Tor care, probably. But does anybody else care? Do the Death Knights and Ice Crown care that you're running Violet Hold? No, not really. And that's the big problem I have with the rep grind. It makes no sense in the game world. And that's kind of a big deal. Especially in an MMO, the game world has to make sense to most people. Or to people who actually play the game. The way it's intended, by paying attention to lore and all that stuff. You don't have to do dailies. Do I think it's a bad idea to hide the VP gear behind dailies? Yeah, it kind of was, and Blizzard pretty much admitted that that was a bad idea. You notice in 5.2 all the Valor gear is coming from gaining rep with the raiding faction. So guess what, Joseph? In 5.2, if you want the VP gear, you have to raid. Which, quite frankly, are the only people that really need the VP gear to begin with. You can even go do LFR and win those rewards. So it's not hard. They are fixing it. Yeah, you're going to miss out on some of the 5.0 VP gear, but here in a couple weeks, you're not even going to want it anyway. You're going to be spending your VP gear on better stuff. So honestly, the only thing to do with VP gear right now is to upgrade your gear before that goes away. And everybody should be doing that, and I hope you are. So, Joseph, stop whining. Seriously, come on now. Pay attention. Next post. And this is like a ridiculously long post, so I'm going to try to bullet point it without reading the whole thing. It's going to be interesting. But here it is in the chat room. This comes from Shift Shaft, a level 90 Tauren or Troll Druid on the Bleeding Hollow server. Blizzard, we want a bounty system. Now this sounds interesting. Let's go over this. A bounty system that does not hurt the current aspect of PvP. One that doesn't take out things like ganking, but promotes heroes to be heroes. To protect the ones who need protecting. To give rewards to those who go out and do honorable deeds. I know there will be naysayers, of course. If anything I've learned from the forums is people will complain about anything, everything, and nothing. True that. People will say things are fine the way they are. People will say get rid of CRZ or give free transfers. They will say if you don't like PvP, get off of PvP realm. Well, I love PvP. I love seeing piles of skeletons. I love seeing that skull next to their names and having that adrenaline rush of knowing I'm going to die if I don't get out quick. I like CRZ and World PvP. So I ask you to hear me out. I ask you trolls to go ahead and try to poke flaws in this. It will only make the idea stronger, working out the kinks. Some will say it's not needed or is exploited. Well, arenas and RBGs are too. But they gave us that and we enjoy it. If you say nothing is needed, then why are you playing this game here? Go join a private server where nothing new will be added, because WoW is always about adding new and improving. I've read the post and formed my ideas working with that, what I liked from reading others. So hear me out and tell me what you think. I try to keep it simple and short. Now, just from that first little bit there, I really like this post. This guy basically has the same view about PvP servers that I do. So I'm excited to read this. I'm gonna... God, this is so long, but it looks like it could be really good. Okay, the bounty system consists of two new points attainable in open world by killing opposing faction members. Server battlegrounds such as Wintergrass and Tol Barad will not be included, along with max level daily quest hub areas. The two new point systems will be called bounty points and guardian points. Now, okay, I don't think we need another currency. Just make it honor and conquest. Let's not add another currency. We've already got problems with JP being irrelevant and all that stuff. So, no new points. Let's stop that there. But let's keep going. Bounty points are earned by killing any member of the opposing faction. The more dishonorable the kill, the more bounty points you earn. A level 90 killing another level 90 will earn 5 bounty points. 90 killing a level 89 will earn 10. This will increase for every 5 levels difference by 5 points. A level 80 killing a level 50 will earn 30 points. While killing a player that is 5 levels or more lower than you, you will be worth twice as much guardian points for 15 minutes. The max bounty a player can have is 3,000. While maintaining a bounty over 2,000, the player will have the option of the title Bane of the Alliance or Bane of the Horde. Players can only receive bounty points off each player every 12 hours. Every time you are killed by an opposing faction member, you lose 10 bounty points. You can only lose points from being killed by each player once every 12 hours. These points are shown on the tooltip when mousing over an enemy player. Huh. That's interesting. But I don't think adding a title to a constantly changing point system is a good idea. Like, maybe if you hit a certain amount, like maybe if you cap your bounty points, you can get that Bane of the Alliance or Bane of the Horde title. That'd be kind of cool. But what happens if you obtain 2,000 points and then you go back under or whatever? Then your title goes away? It's not a bad idea, though. Not a bad idea at all. Now, guardian points are earned by killing opposing faction members with bounty points that are within 5 levels of the player. 90 being its own separate bracket. The higher the bounty amount of the enemy kill, the higher the amount of guardian points earned. Players with 1,000 points will yield 10 points, 2,000 will give 20 points, and so on. If you find a player that has recently killed another player that was 5 or more levels below you, you will receive double guardian points. The points will work as group tags, just like mobs. You can only earn guardian points off each player once every 12 hours. Guardian points, unlike bounty points, are honorable kills which will yield more rewards. You can spend your guardian points on tabards, transmog gear, mounts, or honor. After attaining 10,000 guardian points, you'll receive the title Guardian. Isn't there already a guardian title? I don't know. I thought there was. Seems like there would be. The two titles can link to be used together for those who fought honorably and are a scourge to their opposing faction. Guardian Shift Shaft, Bane of the Alliance. Interesting, but you can't have double titles, so they would have to implement an entire new system for that. Add a new channel for World where players can join if they see a bounty, have a bounty leaderboard and guardian board. There's already a channel for that. It's called World Defense. Granted, World Defense needs some work because it kind of got broken with CRZ, but there is already a channel for that, and there's local defense, so there's channels for it. You don't need to add a new channel, and I don't know why you'd have World boards for that. That's just weird. We only have one world board, and that's for challenge modes. Having something like this that people can earn points basically accidentally is not a good idea. Now, some of you say that this won't fix anything. It's not meant to fix anything. It isn't to fix ganking CRZ or anything. It's a new PvP incentive. Yes, people will gank for their Bane title, but it really won't take much. The problem will be keeping it. It will be a true testament of the determination. More importantly, people will be looking to find people with bounties since you can't farm them from the same person. This will have more heroes out searching for bounties, defending their lobby brethren between queues instead of sitting in town AFKing for a dungeon pop. Shift Shaft, as Guardian of the Forums, I say to you, it's not a bad idea, but it needs some tweaking. I think this whole bounty point, guardian point system is a little bit too complicated, and it gives way too much incentive to actually go gank people. Now, honestly, if you're in a good PvP community or in a good PvP guild, you're going to go and gank people who are ganking your lobbies anyway. Like, in Violent Apathy, the Alliance guild that I play in on Emerald Dream, If we get ganked, all we have to do is say something in guild chat and people come running. So there's already kind of an incentive to protect your lobbies from your guild. And honestly, if I see somebody ganking a lobby, I'll go gank them just out of, you know, just to spite them, really. I don't think we really need more incentive to gank people. And there's already a decent amount, if you're a decent human being, there's already a decent amount of incentive to go protect your lobbies. But having an in-game system for it isn't a terrible idea, but I don't think it's something that needs to be implemented. Because honestly, the people that are getting ganked and are complaining about getting ganked are trying to play on a PvP server by themselves, and you really shouldn't be doing that. You really should be in a guild or with friends or something. We already had a dishonor system back in vanilla, and it was terrible. It's a horrible idea. It didn't work right, and it was crap. So basically, you're asking to add the dishonorable kill system back into WoW, and that's not going to happen. And all this tracking and point system that you're recommending is just way too much work for something that really, if you're playing the game properly with friends and a good guild and stuff, isn't even an issue. So ShiftShaft, that's guarding the forums, I say to you, again, it's not a bad idea, but it definitely needs some work. Definitely needs some work. I would not pass this on to Blizzard, though, because I'm sure Blizzard would come up with a much better system than that. Not that your system is terrible, but it's not good either. Next post. Coming in the chat room right now. Gankers are content creators. Respect them. This is an interesting post from Vir, V-I-R, a level 90 human paladin on a Deathicus server. The proliferation... Let me try that again. The proliferation of protests that cross-realm zone ganking has brought to the general forums has compelled me to write in defense of gankers. Gankers themselves are content creators. When a ganker kills you, he is enhancing your gaming experience by providing a non-scripted event. While some of you would no doubt like a single-player or co-op game where you can kill kobolds for candles, the ganker is providing a dynamic multiplayer environment for you. Furthermore, the ganker is assuming the role of evil. Thus, when some other high-level character, White Knight, on your faction comes to save you, they are by default good. Thus, you get a non-scripted battle between good and evil, which is much more compelling than quests to farm for a peasant in Pandaland or to fetch items for an NPC. Notice how neither the ganker nor the White Knight need any reward to be motivated to action, unlike most WoW scenarios. The situation in itself is the reward, like most video games. The griefer is creating compelling content. Instead of complaining, you should be thanking the grievers for taking the time to gank you. Yes! I love it. Furthermore, gankers build communities. If we had CRZ forums, you would see players popping up to talk about killing gankers or just events on the server in general. So stop whining, stop complaining, and start thanking the griefers for their hard work and push for more griefer-friendly content. You're a hero of the cross-realm zones. Vir is guardian of the forums. I say to you, bravo! Bravo! That might be my favorite post of all time. Because he's got a point. I mean, if you go gank somebody, you're the bad guy. And the person that comes to save you is the good guy. I mean, it's perfect. I love this guy's view on ganking. Am I saying that you should, like, whisper the guy who ganked you to say thank you? No, but this guy has a point. He's creating exciting content for you. I've had so much more fun on a PvP server in the past couple weeks than I have ever had in the game, aside from the time when I leveled up initially on a PvP server. PvP servers are so much more exciting because there's danger. Danger is exciting. Having to look around to see if there's any high-level characters around you, to see if you have to go hide, that's amazing. It's a great feeling. It makes the game so much more fun. So Vera has a great point. Gankers are providing free content for you, and it's content that Blizzard does not have to waste time to develop for you. It's a great post. Blizzard should read that one. Nethera, Zarheim, Bashiok, whoever out there. Oh, Bashiok's not a WoW dev anymore, I guess. But Crypto, Dexari, anybody, all you devs need to read this post and commend this guy on a job well done. I'll let you through, Veer. Good job. Next post. God, that's such a good post. That might be my favorite post of all time. This one is entitled, Blizzard Has to Handhold and It's Sad, from Spec Hunt, a level 90 Night Elf Hunter on the Corialstraz server. Post goes like this. Looking at some of the new changes recently and upcoming, it's really sad to see the amount of hand-holding Blizzard has to do because the community is incapable of any form of maturity or kindness whatsoever. For example, new LFD loot system. They were forced to change the old system because people were such incredible jerks that a loot system that had been in game since inception was no longer adequate because of cross-realm play and people being incapable of behaving kindly or maturely. New mob share mechanic. In theory, it's a nice idea because it allows multiple players to get loot off one mob, but let's be real here. They aren't implementing this because they want more players getting loot. Speeding up the process by which players acquire rare mob drops and the like goes directly against Blizzard's subscription-based billing model. So the reason they are doing this is to prevent a massive amount of whining when players fight over the new rares in 5.2. Just two examples, but I'm positive you can find more. The fact that Blizzard has to intervene in player interaction in such ways is really, really pathetic on the part of this community. I know not everyone is like this or needs these things or abuses things, but it seems the majority do. Otherwise, changes like these wouldn't be implemented. It's sad. Spec Hunt, as a guardian of the forums, I say to you, I kind of agree. I mean, compared to other gaming communities, the WoW community is kind of terrible. Now, I'd like to think that the listeners of my show come from a different stock and are of a higher standard. So I know my listeners don't do anything like this. But the guy's got a point. They've had to change a lot of loot systems in the game to accommodate for the terrible WoW community. And by and large, the WoW community is pretty bad. I mean, everybody's got stories of random dungeon groups or LFR groups or even just questing out in the world that some douchebag just comes and ruins your entire day. The guy's not wrong, but you gotta look at it from Blizzard's perspective. They can't control the community. They're trying to make the game better for everybody, and accommodating for the community is one of those things. So while in general, the World of Warcraft community is kind of bad, not everybody's like that. That's why it's so important for you to find a good guild, to find a group of friends to play with, that you don't have to deal with this very often. A world where I never have to pug again is a perfect world. Is a perfect world. So, Spec Hunt, I say to you, you're on to something here. But there's not a whole lot that Blizzard can do about it. I mean, it's a community problem, and they can't control the community, unfortunately. Next post. Coming up right now. The plea for more five-mans from Ngatayu? 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 Is the end silent? I don't know. Level 90 Gnome Warlock on the Khadgar server. Post goes like this. Since this game's inception, before the release of Molten Core with 4 to 6 hour clears of BRD, up into WoW's first content patch that was Maradon, then the addition of the Dire Mollusks up into Strathholm and Skullomance into the new level infamous level 70 normal and heroic five-mans of the Burning Crusade, through the AoE Mash Fest of Wrath and their awesome loots into ICC, and then onward and upward into the error and nerfed AoE false difficulty of the Cataclysm five-mans up until today, the general base group size in WoW has always been the five-man. Okay, wow, that's one sentence. Come on! You can put periods in there somehow. Commas are nice, but periods are where it's at, man. Come on. As such, it has, up until Wrath, really been the core of the game's group PvE content. What? No, it hasn't. Let's keep going. Something happened, though. Something went missing between here and there, and I feel it's really something that's hurt the game. I ran BRD no less than 8 to 10 times in vanilla, with one of them being successful in clearing two and downing Thessarian. That one run took my group a solid 3.5 to 4 hours. Many of the times dealing with respawns, no 5-man has ever embraced the scope since. So the developers seem to realize a shortcut, heroic mode. Heroic modes of the 5-mans we had already done, which were sufficiently difficult and differentiated in Burning Crusade to substantiate running them ad nauseum. I personally love BC, but I'm going to leave it at that. Heroic Shadow Labs was a majorly different experience than normal. Very similar to today's challenge modes, but there's an issue. There's zero character progression available in challenge modes. Mounts, titles, and transmog gear is a very weak carrot, especially considering how ridiculous it is to gear up an alt with the Valor Gate behind the Rep Gate. With all this said, I'm going to propose something to you. In patch 5.3 or 5.2a or what have you, provide heroic Blackrock deaths. Simply scale the mobs up. Ew, no. No. Then allow queuing in LFG for the wings, similar to how it works at level 50 to 52 or what have you. But repress the Emperor's wing from LFG. If you don't use LFG, you can clear all the way to him on heroic, with him being pretty badass in general, and he drops a guaranteed 476 epic weapon. This will go from caster main hand, dagger, agility pull arm, strength two-hander, tanking one-hander, or a bow. What this does is the following. A. Provides a testing ground for participation in such content. B. Harken back to a bit of nostalgia. C. Provide an avenue to get gear for an alt or multiple alts in a huge 5-man. D. Provide some content for the community that can only fully be accessed by a community that has to work on being polite and having a decent reputation to be able to form up a group outside of their guild to fully clear. E. Accomplish the above with minimal amounts of development time. F. Provide a testing ground for a heroic 5-man version of potentially Mardon and Stratholme, two larger winged 5-mans, and potentially for new content moving forward. I have no doubt in my mind that this will be more appealing than just dropping raids on us, which for the most of your player base simply means you get another LFR to queue for. As a footnote, I'd almost argue that too much time is spent developing raids and PvP balancing, when the truth is that lore-based 5-man content and character progression is pretty cool. I mean, I can't see anything wrong with having Quag's Eye 2.0 being best in slot, even if it is out of a 5-man. And God of you, as guarding the forums, I say to you, you have a good idea, but you're going about it all wrong. I do not want a heroic version of BRD. And the biggest point I'd like to make is 5-mans have never, ever been the core of PvE content. Ever. The core PvP PvE content has always been raiding. Always. Ever since Molten Core. Raiding has been the concept core for PvE content. And it's never going to change. But I like the idea of having like a super huge 5-man to do. That would be a really good idea. Because having those epic instances like BRD and Stratholme and Mardon, all those are really cool. But the problem is, and the reason they ran away from it, is because when those are the only instances at a certain level, and they take so freaking long, people aren't going to want to do them. So what I propose is have your normal 5-mans and have your heroics like we do now. However, in a content patch, put out a giant 5-man that don't make it required for any sort of progression, okay? Make it so it's optional content, but it's an epic 5-man. Make it like a 4-hour 5-man to clear. Because there is room for that kind of content. Especially for people who don't want to raid. Don't take the focus away from raiding, but put something in there for other people. I mean, there's a lot of players out there that just want to do 5-mans. And that's fine. That's completely fine. But give them another carrot to go for. I would love to see some sort of 5-man. And I don't have any good examples of a good 5-man that you could create. Just a totally brand new content. Put some dev time into it. Why not? In these lore patches that we get, like 5.1 and I assume 5.3 is going to be, put in an epic 5-man. Even make the 5-man something about, like, for example, if we were to do it on 5.1 content, why not make it just like a huge battle between the Horde and Alliance? And your 5-man is like a little strike team that has to go take out certain targets and then infiltrate this thing, this base or whatever, and take it down and help the war out. That'd be pretty sweet. That'd be awesome. How about for 5.4, or leading up to 5.4, obviously there's something corrupt in Garrosh, I'm guessing. Maybe it's an old god, maybe it's Shah, who knows. But put in an epic 5-man of 5.3, since the story's going to get progressed to the point where we realize we have to go kill Garrosh. Put in some sort of epic 5-man where we have to infiltrate, oh, I don't know, something. Some big base that, or some giant complex that some big bad guy's hiding in corrupting Garrosh. I love that idea. You could even make it winged if you wanted to, like the ICC 5-mans were. Or you could do it as one giant complex. That'd be sweet. I like that idea. So, Nagata, you, I say to you, it's not a bad idea, but no epic BRD. I don't want heroics for outdated 5-mans. I really don't. Some of the remakes are really cool, like the Scarlet Monastery remake was really good. Skullomance remake was really good. But to be quite honest, I don't want to see a remake of every single dungeon in the game. Some of them are good just the way they are. Skullomance. Skullomance got reworked a little bit. Or not Skullomance, derp. Stratholm. Stratholm got reworked a little bit. Leave it alone. Don't make that a heroic. Give us some new content. Because I don't like running something more than once, to be honest. It's cool to see the changes, and it's cool to have more max level content, but I don't want to see rehashing of old content. You can use old places for stuff like this. Like, you could turn Kara into an epic 5-man. That'd be sweet. Oh my god. Could you imagine Kara as an epic 5-man with new bosses and new challenges and everything? Oh, sweet Jesus, that would be so good. Oh, or Black Temple, or Ulduar. Oh, man. Take some of them old raids and make 5-mans out of them. I'm okay with that. You can use the areas. Just don't use the same bosses and everything. Make new stuff. But not a bad idea, really. Not a bad idea at all. Alright, final post for Guardian of the Forms. Coming in chat room right now. It's called Make Them Go Away from Worgenbane, a level 90 Torn Warrior from the Ilaria server. I like that name. That's pretty cool. Of course, I think it fits more for a Forsaken. But, you know, whatever. Post goes like this. Blizzard, I beg you, just delete all the threads in this forum and start fresh. Get some interns to monitor the forums and delete any threads that are pointless or already have a thread discussing said topic. I come here to read about relevant, important WoW news, but for me to do that, I have to scan through hundreds of ganking is mean, or loot sucks, or rate this stupid blah 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 blah. Make them go away. I'm so damn sick of it. Make a separate forum labeled Whiners Forums so that people can go there to complain about pointless dead horse subjects. This is beyond annoying. It is flat out infuriating. I like reading threads that actually have meaning and seeing the blue responses to relevant stuff. But how can Blues find the relevant threads when they are buried by all these BS threads? Make them go away. Now. Worgenbane is guarding the forums. I say to you, Blizzard can't control what the community does. You can't have a whiners forum because nobody will post in it because nobody wants to be labeled as a whiner. Everybody, regardless of how stupid it is or stupid their ideas are, everybody that posts in the forums think they have a valid argument. Or else they wouldn't be posting on the forums. So, while I agree with you, Worgenbane, it's not something that Blizzard can do. Unfortunately. As much as I love the post, it made me giggle. But in reality, there really isn't anything they can do about it. So, that's it for guarding the forums. If you have any juicy forum posts you want me to go over, send them my way, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. And we'll go over them. Now we're going to take a quick musical roulette break. When we come back, I'm going to revive an old, old feature of the show. And I'm going to talk about how to make you a better player. So, yes, Juve Milano, an old feature that I haven't done in a long time. So, musical roulette time. Now, if you listen to the show, you guys know that I'm a huge fan of a band called Soilwork. They are one of my favorite bands. They're my favorite current band, really. Now, the lead singer of Soilwork goes by the nickname Speed, and he has a side project called the Night Flight Orchestra. Now, this guy does, you know, like screaming metal, but he has a really good singing voice. So I'm going to play this song for you as part of roulette for this break. This is the Night Flight Orchestra. The song is called West Ruth Avenue. It's got a really like 70s feel to it, and I really dig it. It's a very addicting song. You can find it on iTunes. Search for their album on YouTube. It's really good stuff. But I'll be right back with an old feature. Enjoy. You're listening to the podcast archive of Sheep Moon. Music was removed so I don't get my ass sued by major music companies. If you want to hear the music, tune in live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central Time starts the Epic Musical Roulette pre-show. If you like what you hear, you can always tip the show. Go to sheepmoon.com and click the donate button. Every dollar will go back into the show and is mucho appreciated. Gracias. Now back to the show. All right, so I said I was going to bring back an old feature. Now, I used to do a feature on the show talking about a certain T-shirt. Now, if you go on Amazon and look up the Three Wolf Moon T-shirt, there are some hilarious, hilarious comments about this thing. And they were so hilarious, I thought about reading them on the show. So, since we have a lot of new listeners, I've decided to bring it back. So this is the very, very first Three Wolf Moon segment that I did for the show. I'll probably go back to doing new ones because they are quite hilarious and really weird. So enjoy. Time to buy some new clothes. So let's look online. Amazon.com. Huh. This shirt has 2,000 reviews. I wonder what they have to say about this Three Wolf Moon T-shirt. A 5-star review called Dual Function Design. This item has wolves on it, which makes it intrinsically sweet and worth 5 stars by itself. But once I tried it on, that's when the magic happened. After checking to ensure that the shirt would properly cover my girth, I walked from my trailer to Walmart with the shirt on and was immediately approached by women. The women knew from the wolves on my shirt that I, like a wolf, am a mysterious loner who knows how to howl at the moon from time to time, if you catch my drift. The women that approached me wanted to know if I would be their boyfriend and or give them money for something they called meth. I told them no because they didn't have enough teeth and frankly, a man with a wolf shirt shouldn't settle for the first thing that comes to him. I arrived at Walmart, mounted my courtesy scooter. Walking is such a drag. Sitting side saddle so that my wolves would show. While I was browsing tube socks, I could hear aroused asthmatic breathing behind me. I turned around to see a slightly sweaty dream in sweatpants and flip-flops standing there. She told me she liked the wolves on my shirt. I told her I wanted to howl at the moon. She offered me a swig from her Mountain Dew, and I drove my scooter, with her shuffling alongside out the door and into the rest of our lives. Thank you, Wolf Shirt. Pros.
fits my girthy frame, has wolves on it, and attracts women. Cons. Only 3 wolves. Could probably use a few more on the guns. Cannot see wolves when sitting with arms crossed. Wolves would have been better if they glowed in the dark. Wow. That review was really helpful. I think I might look into the shirt a bit more.
Yes, you can see that the audio capabilities and reading capabilities of DTD has improved quite a bit since then. More reviews may be coming. Now, actually, if you guys would like to submit your own review for the Three Wolf Moon t-shirt, all you have to do is go to Amazon.com, look up Three Wolf Moon t-shirt, and just read one of those comments about the shirt. There are some real gems in there. Submit them at sheepmoonblog@gmail.com, and I will play them on the show. You could be famous. Yes. So the final segment of the show today actually stems from an interview I did about a month ago, I think. If you guys listen to Realm Maintenance, a couple weeks ago, Sheep Moon was one of the featured podcasts, and I did an extensive interview with Ro. And one of the questions he asked me actually caught me really off guard, because it's something I'd never thought about before. And he asked me, what were my goals for Sheep Moon? And I was flabbergasted. I didn't know what to say, because I'd never thought about that. Well, I've had some time to think about it over the weeks, and I've come up with a good answer. My goal for Sheep Moon is to make the WoW community just better players in general. Because it's a really crappy feeling to be passed over because you're not good enough. It is the worst feeling in the world. Whether it be to raid or to do raided battlegrounds or any of the high-end content. It sucks to be passed over. So my goals for Sheep Moon is to make you a better player, whether it be PvP or PvE or just in general. So I've come up with a way to help you make... to help make you a better raider. Because raiding is something that I feel like I have some expertise on. So how to be a better raider? We're going to focus on preparing for your raid. Because there's a lot of preparation that goes into raiding. Whether it be getting consumables or researching your class or something like that. So I want to give you some tips on how to be a better raider. The first tip that will automatically get you passed over if you don't focus on it is your gearing, how you gear your class. This includes proper reforging, proper gemming, and what gear you should be shooting for. Now, while I don't know all the classes, obviously, there are some very excellent resources that you can look into. The first one that I'd like to recommend, and now, by no means should you take this as like holy scripture or set in stone or Bible or anything like that, is using sites to help you gear up. Like there's a good app called RAR. I actually don't know if RAR is still being used. Or you can go to the website Ask Mr. Robot. And that's going to help you decide how to reforge your gear, how to gem your gear, and so on and so forth. There's some classes that it's actually not very good for, but for the most part, it'll help you like make your hit cap. In some instances, if you have like a haste breakpoint, especially for like dot classes, it'll help you get to that without sacrificing too much in the other stats. There's also a lot of good resources that you could look into. For example, you could look into like elitist jerks. I'm sure they're still running pretty strong. They've been around for a while. There's a lot of resources that you can use to reforge your gear, but one that often gets overlooked because it involves some sort of interaction is finding a good player and just asking them. If you have somebody in your guild, let's say, that is really good at the class you play, ask them how you should be gearing, how you should be enchanting. And if they're not a douchebag, they'll help you out. Or if they have time, they'll help you out. Gearing is actually a major, major part in pulling out the maximum DPS of your character. Not the biggest part, but it is pretty major. For example, I have an alt that's an enhancement shaman. And I wasn't gearing or gemming quite as optimally as I could. I mean, I knew what stats I needed to go for, and I knew, you know, what my hit cap was and expertise cap and all that was. But after I hit those caps, I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention. I think I used Ask Mr. Robot, actually. I don't remember. But I used something to help me optimize what my gear should be. And my DPS went up by like 10k. So it is a pretty significant thing to do some research in. The biggest part about raiding is doing your research. And there are so many sites out there that can help you with that, that there really is no excuse on being uninformed about your class. Now, the actual biggest part of being a good DPS or whatnot is knowing your rotation. Knowing your rotation is a huge deal. Because if you're doing your rotation wrong, then you're going to suffer a lot. There are a lot of good websites out there that will help you on your rotation. Noxic.com is a great one. Noxxic.com. They have guides for every class, PvE and PvP. So, highly suggest looking into those. You can also check out Elitist Jerks in the class forums. They usually have posts for your specific spec. And if you want to get real technical and get really deep theory crafting, that's a good site to go check out. But another biggest part, another really huge part about researching your class is trial and error. Trial and error is a huge deal. You can go to a target dummy and try different things with your rotation and see what kind of results you get. Just you yourself. That's another big part. The biggest part is knowing your class, knowing your rotation, and knowing your gear. That's a huge deal. Icy Veins is also another good website that I don't know why I forgot about that, because Icy Veins is an awesome website. But Icy Veins is another good website to not only get research, but if you have trouble with the bosses, knowing boss mechanics, that's a good site to look at. And that's the second thing, or the third thing rather, that I'd like to talk about, is know the bosses. Know what you have to do on the bosses. Because it is such a pain to bring in somebody new and have to teach them the boss every single time you down a new boss. It's annoying. If you want to be well prepared, know the bosses. There's a lot of great videos on YouTube that are excellent guides. Personally, my guild, we use Fat Boss. The Fat Boss videos on YouTube are excellent, and those guys are hilarious too. Tank Spot used to do a lot of raid guides. I don't think they do it so much anymore. But if you want like old school boss knowledge, like ICC and TOC and all that stuff, Tank Spot is a good resource for that too. Tank Spot's another good website just to research your class too. They have a lot of good stuff on there. Another thing about being ready to raid is having all your consumables, because you can't count on your guild having feasts and stuff for you to use. So, get food. Get your good food. Now, every class has food that will give you 300 in your primary stat. Whether it's from brewing or from baking or steaming or whatever. Every class has food that they can get maximum benefit from. And especially Pandaren, because you get double food buffs. So, definitely make sure you get food, because you will notice not a huge difference in your DPS, but a significant change in your DPS if you don't have food. Another one is flasks. Make sure you have flasks. Golden Lotus are really cheap on the auction house, and you can spend Spirits of Harmony, if you have extra of those lying around, to buy Golden Lotus. You can get them on your farm if you do the Farmville bit. Get Golden Lotus, because every flask takes a Golden Lotus. So stock them up. Get the mats for your flask, you can. It's really easy to research what those are, or just ask an alchemist in your guild or in trade chat even what the flasks are or what the mats are for the flask. And a lot of times, you can usually find a flask master alchemist, a flask spec alchemist in trade or in your guild. Have those guys make your flask for you, because if they proc extra ones, well, then that's free flask for you. So make sure you're flasked. Make sure you've got your food and any other consumables that you need. Make sure your gear is completely enchanted. Make sure it's gemmed and reforged properly. And make sure you know your rotation. If you do those things, you're going to be a good raider. And you're going to be brought back. But don't be afraid to ask people for help. That's a big thing that I see a lot of people shying away from in World of Warcraft. And I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because the community is utter crap, but you can always find somebody that will help you out. When I was first tanking, I talked to one of the top prot warriors on my server at the time, and he gave me a lot of helpful tips that I use to this day, 5 years later. I still use these tips to help me be a better tank. And there's somebody out there for your class and spec that can help you out. Guaranteed. I guarantee that. The last thing I want to talk about being a good raider, is be on time. Attendance is a huge deal to raiding. Because not only are you relying on yourself to be ready, but you're relying on 9 to 24 other people to be ready too. And it's very frustrating to have people be late or just not show up at all. If you're going to be late, or if you aren't going to be able to make it, get a hold of your raid leader somehow. You can send them in-game mail, you can send them a tell, you can add their battle tag, so you can just log in real quick and send them a message, or use the remote feature of the WoW Armory to pop in guild chat, say, hey, I'm on remote, I'm going to be late or I can't show up. Just give as much ample time, ample notification that you can to your raid leader so they can find a replacement. Because if they're counting on you and you don't show up, then you got 9 to 24 other people that are just standing around with their thumb up their ass. Because there's nothing to do because they're waiting on you. Normally, try to be early if you can. Like 15 minutes before raid time, be at the entrance of the raid. Or even in the raid if the lockout's saved. Have all your flasks and your foods on you. So that way, when it's raid time, you're ready. And you can just go right in. Those are some very, very basic tips that I can give to raiders. There's a lot of in-depth stuff I can go into, but that's really class-specific, and I don't know enough about the classes to really do that. But just do your research. There's so many websites out there that can help you out, making your character better, that there's really no excuse to not be prepared. And an hour in-game, if that, can make sure you have all the consumables that you need for raiding. And just be on time, show up, and do a good job. And I guarantee if you do a good job and you keep up with the DPS in your raid compared to your gear, you're going to come back. And before you know it, you're going to be a part of a progression raid team that, who knows, may be at the top of the server. It could happen. It's happened to a lot of people. So if you have any tips, just in gaming in general, that you want to send into the show, email me sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Again, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. And that's going to be it for the show today, because I myself have to get ready for raid. So, I want to thank you. Thank the record number of people that were in the chat room today. I'm very humbled by the fact that people actually listen to my show. We do some shout-outs. If you got a shout-out, you can post it in the chat room, or you can DM me on Twitter @sheep_moon with the hashtag shout-out. And I'll read your shout-out on the show. I'm going to give a shout-out to my chat room right now. Bubba Caleb, I'm glad you can make it to my show. I love you, sir. I'll see you here in a little bit. Bubba Caleb Sucks is also back. I'm surprised there's no fighting in the chat room between those two. Careless Whisper 69, welcome back. Sorry I didn't get Careless Whisper in the playlist today. I'm going to try to do that next week for you, buddy. Aragoth, a first-time live listener, welcome to the show. I hope you had a good time. Juve Milano, your third consecutive show. I'm impressed. Welcome back. Mages assemble. I still think that's Coltrane. I wish. Welcome back. Only on sheepmoon.com, my free promo account. I Welcome back. Ro, welcome back. Ro is here every week. Dedicated listener. Welcome. Thank you. SoCal Wow Gal, my right-hand chica. Special shout-out to Wow Gal for providing me with show notes for today. I'm still looking forward to your podcast. Valentine kisses boys. I love you. I really don't know what else to say. And Wow Prophets, welcome to your first show. A fellow UFC fan and a fellow metal fan. I like this guy. He's cute. Celebrity shoutouts. I'm going to give a shout out to Ronda Rousey for not only winning the first ever female fight in the UFC, but retaining her bantamweight title. And she's smoking hot. So shout out to Ronda Rousey. I'm also going to give a shout out to a very old guildie who doesn't play anymore, but he's awesome nonetheless. To Decap, the blackest man to ever play World of Warcraft. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Decap. I miss you failing on every single boss we've ever done. He's a good guy. Good guy. Anyway, that is it for the show. Make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes. Give us 5-star reviews. 4-star reviews. Or review. I don't really care. Give me a 1-star review. Tell me how bad I am. It's always good to know where I stand with my listeners. And I'm always looking to improve the show. I tweak it like every week. Trying to make it better. Trying to make it the best possible podcast I can for my listeners. So let me know what you think. Send me email, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com, with any suggestions or questions or comments. Like me on Stitcher. That's the best way to support the show, peoples. Give me a thumbs up on Stitcher. Rate it on iTunes. And you can follow the YouTube page, youtube.com/kolemsai, K-O-L-E-M-S-A-I. We still post quest text every day. I haven't missed a day yet. I'm still knocking on wood. I hope to never miss a day, but, you know, I can't guarantee that. Still doing new Tinkertown with the Gnome Rogue shenanigans. Going through all the quest text and all that jazz. I'm hoping to have sheepmoon.com back up in the next day or so. And it's going to be a lot better than it was before. Like I said, the entire archive will be posted. I actually just finished uploading the entire archive right before the show. So once I teach myself how to WordPress, the website will be back up. I'm just kind of figuring this stuff out as I go, man. I'm chem-dogging so bad. I've decided that when I registered the new website, they asked for a company name. So I thought of a company name. It's ChemDog Productions. If you don't know what that means, go on Google and search for Chemistry Dog. It's an excellent meme, and it's amazing. Anyway, I'm getting out of here. I gotta eat some dinner and then raid. So, I'll be back next week with another amazing show with more Guardian of the Forums, maybe a new Three Wolf Moon segment. It's gonna be awesome. Take care, guys. Go kill some bosses. Don't break the sheep.